a complete food department store that helps you live better for less, presents Linda's First Love by transcription. Linda assumed the only houses anywhere near their desolate home on the flats to be uninhabited. But a man named Fenton Fox has introduced himself as a neighbor, and a very curious one he is. Linda relates her experience to Danny when we resume our story in a moment. Ladies, listen. Do you know what cleanser uses this famous slogan?
Chases dirt with activated seismotite.
If you know the answer, it can help you win a fabulous prize in the Kroger's $65,000 brand name treasure hunt.
Win $5,000 cash.
Win a brand new Buick Super Sedan.
Thousands of prizes to choose from. Get an entry blank at your Kroger store.
Yes, ladies, there are thousands of prizes in this great Kroger contest. Why, every week, Kroger is giving away 3,000 pairs of nylon hose. These are gorgeous nylons, Hollywood hose, monotop with lace edge, sheer, full fashioned in the latest fall shades. Think of it, 15,000 pairs of Hollywood monotop nylons. Get in the $65,000 Kroger brand name treasure hunt right away. Easy to enter, easy to win. Your neighborhood Kroger store has entry blanks and helpful hints about the big brand name treasure hunt contest. Phil Hubbard left the house a half hour ago, but Pa still remains with Linda, and both are busy in the workshop. Pa at the small printing press, and Linda is completing the design for a new Christmas card. But the presence of their recent caller is somewhat still with them.
How many of those have you printed, Pa?
Next you make it an even 100, Linda Gal. There. That's the moment, I reckon. How are you coming? That linoleum block you carved in is almost ready to print. Let's see. First, I better pull down the shades.
I know what you mean, Pa. Our fine feathered friend, Pheasant Fox.
Try to run that press real quiet so as I'd be able to hear him if he comes sneaking up to the window to peek in again.
Well, every time the sun went behind a cloud, I thought it was a shadow. Did he have his nerve with him, though?
I'm impressed, all right, Linda Gal, poking his head in the window that ways. And he sure gave me a turn when he came back that second time. To say he was sure he recognized me from someplace.
Pa, you and Phil made a dreadful mistake telling him our name was Smith and that Danny is a former boxer.
Well, I had to tell him that. If word gets around, you and Danny are setting up a handicraft gift and present business out here. Nobody in Centerville will buy a nickel's worth of your products.
Pa, you've already admitted he may talk about what we're doing here. And if he does that, he'll surely talk about Mrs. Smith and Danny Smith, the red-headed thunderbolt or something.
That's where I've protected you two. As long as you can advise Mr. and Mrs. Danny Smith, you're safe.
I suppose for a while, anyway. But the important thing is to keep our activities quiet. What was there for Fenton Fox to see in here? I don't remember how the workshop looked.
Well, I don't reckon he saw too much, Miguel. After all, none of the power tools and stuff Danny ordered has arrived yet.
The printing press. He must have seen the printing press, Pa.
Probably took it in his stride. Probably thought you were just turning out some counterfeit money or something.
Now, be serious.
A fellow with a face like his, eyes so close together, they practically merge into one. No chin, long pointy nose, and big round ears without any lobes. That makes him a criminal automatic. Why, he wouldn't hold counterfeiting against you, Linda Gal.
That is an old wives' tale about anyone with lobeless ears having criminal tendencies. And this isn't a laughing matter. Can't I convince you of that, Pa?
I'm just trying to jolly you a bit. And really, the press was covered up with canvas, if you recall, so...
That's right. And there's nothing else in here except my drawing board.
Besides that, you wasn't carving any linoleum block to print Christmas cards with, neither. So now stop fussing, will you?
Well, there's this, though. When the express company delivers all that machinery, Mr. Fox is going to be mighty curious.
He's going to be even curiouser when Ralph Kirkpatrick stops in every day to turn over his Christmas card orders. And leaves with boxes full of printed-up cards.
And Archer Morrison's been taking orders over at the factory from the workmen, too. He'll be in and out of here.
And so will Daisy, for that matter. But why worry? Fox will just think you're popular people, that's all. My Jiminy. We're the folk that really count you on, in the girls.
I know. But still, to have to use an assumed name, to have to move way out here in a town that's always been our home, that's what hurts.
Shucks, you and Danny will fight your way back and then some. One fine day, the man responsible for your being in the doghouse will wind up in the jailhouse. Nugent will admit he framed Danny. And this town will be informed Danny wasn't responsible for those deaths in the epidemic.
They won't believe it. They've condemned Danny without trial.
No, don't talk like that. Listen to your old pa. I'm here to tell you they'll come when they'll build a statue of Danny in Public Square.
Oh, maybe. On his 100th birthday.
Linda. Linda, workshop. Linda, what goes on around here? Oh, hi, Pa.
Danny, what's the matter?
Oh, all goes on is some printing. What's biting you?
All upset because my manager can't get me a match with a middleweight champion. Me, Deadly Dan Smith, which won 97 out of my last 96 fights.
Darling, then you've met Fenton Fox.
Saves us a lot of explaining.
Well, hardly, Pa. How did I get this way? A total stranger stops me out front and asks me for my autograph in the same breath, adding that he never heard of me, so that I look in fine condition, and what they need down at the Centerville Arena is new blood.
They're not going to get it. You're retired. I told Mr. Fox.
He poked his head in the window, Danny. Curious. I told him your name is Smith. I made you out to be a boxer so as to scare him away, that's
so,
all.
Oh, Dandy. Dandy, an assumed name, yeah. Well, I see the wisdom of the thing. If he knew who we are, he'd probably organize a mob and tar and feather us.
Don't say such a thing, even in fun.
Only one person we don't want should know you're out here, and his initials is Edmund Nugent. Hey, how about getting that wild boy who hangs out in the woods to testify he saw Nugent ruin your cottage?
Too young, Pa. How old would you say he is, Linda?
Oh, about 13. Danny, have you forgotten? We were supposed to take some clothing out to him and the old hermit he lives with.
There hasn't been a chance, Linda. Now that we've got the moving over with, I suppose...
I got a whole leather coat with sheepskin lining. Sarah, he won't let me wear. Might fit the hermit. Hermits and caves. Come smack out of a storybook.
Well, we don't know anything about him, of course. He and little Mike might live in an abandoned...
Mine shaft? Warehouse?
Out in the woods? Don't be silly, Pa. Linda was thinking of a cabin.
Could be a mine shaft in the woods. Sight more likely than in a city park or a golf course.
All right, Pa. All right. Let us not quibble.
Okay, let's split hairs instead.
Linda, what's the idea of pulling down the shades?
Just a precaution against foxes, Danny.
Out here?
Now stop reaching up over the mantelpiece for a rifle, Pa. Linda means Fenton foxes.
Oh, him, yes. That's a good idea. Frustrate the curious. Might be others, too. Kids. Always kids around. More kids than there are people, seems like.
Now, Pa, that's a fine thing to say.
I know what he means. When my wood-turning lathe, bandsaw, planer, all the rest of it arrives, 9,000 little boys will pop up from somewhere. And the news that the people at 106 Miller Street are starting an A-bomb factory in their house will spread like wildfire.
Well, couldn't we have the express people make the delivery after dark? And speaking of little boys, let's get back to Mike.
Say, that's a good idea. I'll call him. Mike, well, we'll have to buy him an outfit, then.
Yeah, well, you throw your money around. Don't imagine you got much left after ordering all that machinery and supplies.
He's got nearly $100, Pa. And that poor youngster was in rags when we saw him.
$100? Is that all?
Well, there's more in the corporation fund, Danny. Nearly $200. Income from a Christmas card.
Yeah, but that includes advance payments. Can't call it profit yet.
Couldn't call it profit in the strict sense of the word, anyway. Profit starts when equipment's paid for, Pa.
That's perfectly true, but Mike's got to have clothes. And food, too. Food for him and the old man he's staying with.
How've they been getting along, then, the gal, this old man?
Well, I'm afraid that little Mike's been the breadwinner, if you can call it that.
Well, according to him, he helps himself, Pa, to what he can find growing on farms, and he raids an unguarded icebox now and then.
Well, that's bad. Welfare authorities ought to be notified.
And he ought to be going to school, too, Pa. We'll have to do something about Mike and the old man he calls Unc.
Uh-huh. Friend or foe, I wonder. I'll go.
You better close the door.
I want to board up these windows and pretend this part of the house is unoccupied.
You know, that's a good idea, Pa. Danny, hello.
Well, Doris, come in. Gruesome, isn't it?
Why, inside it seems very cheery.
Well, that's Linda's touch. We can't do much about the bleak exterior. It'll spring. It's all right, Linda. Come on in. It's Doris.
My goodness, has she been hiding?
That's the workshop in there. We're keeping our activities quiet.
Hello, Doris. You must think you've walked into a den of thieves.
We can explain, Miss Stephanie. We can explain.
Oh, I understand. How are you, Mr. Crockett?
Peachy. Why, you ain't got on any of that favorite perfume of mine.
Oh, but I have. This time I didn't spill it all over. That's why you don't notice. Step a little closer.
Oh, I dasn't. Makes me kind of delirious.
Sit down, Doris. It's the same furniture, you see, under a somewhat different roof, that's all.
Yeah, at least. But home is what you make it, and there's no place like it.
Mr. Crockett, you've got something there.
Oh, you mean my elk's tooth? I brush it every day, right after breakfast. That's a joke. Too cheered up.
Oh, and you do it that far.
Par's a card. There's no two ways about it. Doris, what's new with you?
Well, quite a lot, then. I've been playing Junior G-Girl, you know, and I think my quarry's beginning to crack.
You
mean
it? Mm-hmm. Crack is a word for him, the monster.
I mean it.
You have been buddying up to him, haven't you?
Been just about as pleasant as trying to curry favor with a cobra.
Oh?
But I've been so successful, I've got him on my neck, then. I told him I thought he was simply brilliant person, and he swallowed it.
Well, that's quite in character for a cobra. But has he gotten to the point of talking?
He boasts incessantly, Linda. How he got Danny out of his job with a Hepworth company.
You know how? He admitted sandbagging Danny to make him late with the medicine for the epidemic?
Oh, no, he wasn't quite that explicit, Mr. Crockett, but I can tell he's bursting to give me all the details tonight.
Wow.
Tonight? What happened?
I've got a date with him at the Whispering Pines for dinner. And if he talks, you can give all this manual training business up, Danny, and go back to being Dr. Grogan.
Oh. Yes, yes, perhaps,
oh,
but
God,
I...
Oh, God, that's wonderful. Just wonderful.
But oughtn't you to have his confession witnessed?
Oh, it will be. We always eat in the same booth, and I've arranged for an unimpeachable witness in the adjoining one. The panel's thin, and... Well, anyway, my testimony alone would...
Danny, why so grave?
Don't you realize what this means?
Yes, yes, and of course I do. It'll be, as you say, wonderful, of course.
But Danny shows little enthusiasm, if any at all. Why is he so disinterested? Is his bitterness toward the town so intense that he's lost all interest in being vindicated and resuming his work as a doctor? Be sure to listen to the next dramatic chapter of Linda's First Love.